Hello, I'm Mrs. Stolfus, the WCDS principal. This is Michelle Elliott, our Family Relations Coordinator. We want to share with you today some important topics about technology readiness. We get a lot of questions this time of year about whether students are ready for a smartphone and whether or not parents should buy one for their students. So we wanted to just have a conversation and share those resources with you today. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
As a parent of five children and our family relations coordinator, I know that you've been down this road before with your own children, and you've also done research and are ready to help our parents make some well-informed decisions. So I appreciate you doing all of that. Before we really dive into technology, how should we as Christian parents really look at technology and have an understanding of what technology is for?
Right. Great. Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. You're right. It's really hard to know how we relate to technology in a fallen world. But first, we have to know how to relate to technology and our relationship with our neighbor as image bearers, right? God made us in his image. Mm-hmm. And we want to make sure, firstly, that whether we're online or in person or texting, that we are still kind and loving. Mm-hmm. And we have that motto here on campus, love God, love others, and love people. And that's what we want to do first. And I feel like that's a great little motto as we think about technology. Are we loving God and are we loving people? And so that's probably our premise for our conversation.
Yes. Many parents wonder, what is the right time for me to have my child have a phone or even a smartphone? What would you say to that?
Right. We get that question a lot, especially as they're getting a little older. Maybe kids are getting independent. They're going to friends' houses longer or someone's picking up them from school. Mm-hmm. And there's that little concern that parents have is, how do I contact my kid? How do I know where they are? You know, when we grew up, we were sent outside to play.
Right.
And then we were told to check in when the sun was setting. So times have changed a little bit.
Yes.
And when we're thinking about giving our kid a phone, we should take some things into consideration. One, their maturity. Mm-hmm. Is it necessary? Is it more of a concern that the parent has than what the student is needing? Mm-hmm. We have found that students who have a delayed, who are delayed getting a phone, they are able to build up their interpersonal relationships a lot better. They make eye contact better. They're engaged in the classroom.
That's so important.
It's so important.
All of those things.
Yeah, and their friendships, they understand who their core friends are. And when they're together as friends, then they're interacting and having fun. They're doing crafts. They're playing basketball, baseball. They're playing board games. And they're doing a lot of other things. So if we allow them just a little bit more time
to have real relationships instead of online relationships.
Yeah, so that they understand what is a true friend. Mm-hmm. And, you know, kids have a lot of development, especially in the fifth, sixth, seventh grade, middle school, where they're sometimes don't have the ability for self-control. Mm-hmm. We think, well, why not? Well, they have a lot going on with hormones and developmental, and their self-control is one thing that actually comes later. You know, our frontal lobe is not fully developed till we're 25.
Yes.
And so when we think, oh, I'm going to give my kid a cell phone and they'll be able to mind their manners, they actually literally can't. Mm-hmm. That's just how God made them, and he made them to want to be outside and to play. So if we just delay that a little bit, they learn self-control, responsibility, leadership a whole lot better. And so that's just what we encourage, just a delay in that phone.
So then, knowing all of that, what would you say is the recommended time or age to give a student a cell phone?
Right. Every parent has their own home situations. Mm-hmm. We were able to develop an age and stage little checklist from some valuable resources we found and try to condense it to make it a little bit easier for parents. But when you think about the real need for a phone, we have found it came when our kids started to drive, right? Mm-hmm. They're in a vehicle. Will they get a flat tire? Mm-hmm. Did they run out of gas? You know, they're learning about responsibility and driving. Right. We found that that was really the time when they did need a cell phone. And we wouldn't want to be stranded ourselves on the side of a road with a flat tire. And nor do we want our inexperienced child to do so. But we found that they learned a lot of responsibility. They learned good tech management skills, good responsibility. when it came to using their email and the tech that we did have at home that was being monitored. You know, they have school assignments online, mm-hmm. and were they abusing or using those correctly? But we found that basically when they were 16, 17, mm-hmm. and needed to be a little independent on the road, we did allow a cell phone at that time with certain parameters. Mm-hmm. And we did consider it a family phone because they didn't have the money to buy their own phone. But there was some guidelines with that. But we found that that was a good time to give them the option and opportunity to learn some responsibility mm-hmm. with a phone.
Yeah, that's great. Parents often ask, how can I set limits without having constant conflict with my child, with my student? So are there some practical things you can suggest for
that? Right, yeah, because they're always wanting more time, and this not long enough. And we have found that we try to do an age and stage approach. When they're little, too much contact with even the TV, like sometimes we can even be guilty of using the TV as the babysitter when we're in a hurry, we need to get ready or just occupy them. But even that contact does impact their development, mm-hmm. right? Because there's the screen, there's their eyes. So when it comes to screen time limits, we can be under the false assumption that if I set up parameters, you know, the parent controls, mm-hmm. that's enough, 30 minutes, you know, for this. But we find that even with those parameters, there is the opportunity for harm mm-hmm. to be done. Mm-hmm. We would recommend that if they're going to have a set time to be on a tech or digital device, that one, it's in an open space. It's like with the family. If they're doing homework, probably at the kitchen table, mm-hmm. and we have our kids turn their screens outward so we can see them.
Yes,
and we find that's helpful. Mm-hmm. And obviously the age and stage matters. Family movie night, that's different. We're all together. We're all interacting at the same time, the same moment. But we find that, you know, there's no need for anything more than 30 minutes, even through sixth grade. Mm-hmm. The big change is when they are in middle school and they have even a little bit more homework mm-hmm. that is online and they're doing their Kahoots and they're doing all their flip grids. That's when they need a little bit more access.
Right.
But as a parent, to still stay engaged and, okay, what are you doing and how long will it take? We have those conversations. Right. We ask them, like, what are you doing right now and how long will this assignment take you? And they don't even know that they need a brain break, right? Mm-hmm. That if their eyes have been looking at a screen for 45 minutes, that's a great time to close the screen and do a reset, you know, go outside, walk around, have a glass of water.
Yes.
So we find like 30 minutes in the elementary years is adequate. Mm-hmm. Also, there's certain times where maybe they're sick or a little under the weather that you make allowances for certain things. And obviously family time, you know, if you like football or baseball, you're watching something. But those things, we just encourage them to be like a group activity. So people are involved together. But really, in the elementary years, there's no need for beyond 30 minutes. Our research shows that on a personal device, even an app that is designed for a student, within 30 seconds, they can access something that's mm-hmm. inappropriate. Mm-hmm. So there is that need for monitoring. So if you are going to give a little bit of independent access to a device, having a lot of protocols in place and parental helps, there would be great so that you get that alert, you get that mm-hmm. warning when your kid may inadvertently find something that they weren't trying to find. Click on the wrong thing. And sometimes these things are hidden deep mm-hmm. down in apps because you're on the next level and you're clicking the buttons and all of a sudden something opens up. One thing we do tell our kids when they're on the screen, because you don't know mm-hmm. what could pop up, is if something inappropriate does pop up, to follow these simple guidelines. Look away, mm-hmm. close the screen, and go find an adult.
Yes.
And so sometimes just that simple conversation will make a parent feel more comfortable. Mm-hmm. If their kid is on a device that they know, okay, if something that you're not sure of or something that feels wrong, just look away, close the screen, and come find an adult. So those are good parameters.
Do you find that there is conflict with your kids about, you know, this pressure to be online more or the conflict to, you know, want you to give in to more?
There's times for that, right? I find that if we keep an open dialogue, mm-hmm. going and if I know what the assignment is and they come to me, if they come in a humble spirit,
true,
right, it's a little bit easier to say, okay, 15 more minutes, that seems reasonable. We always tell them the attitude matters, right?
Yes.
So if you come and say, Mom, is it okay, versus I want.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always checking the heart,
yes,
making sure we're in the right place. But there is allowances for that. Sometimes we've had a little pushback when they felt it was very important. But after having that conversation and you're finding out what was so important about it, they even realized it wasn't that important after all. That their need kind of, they felt like it de-escalated the situation, mm-hmm, or what they felt was really important.
Right.
And we're not trying to win as a parent, but we're trying to protect them. And sometimes they get a little confused that you're withholding something, mm-hmm, maybe, or that we really are for you. And
right,
we really want you to be successful.
Yeah, we have your best interest at
yes,
heart in all
absolutely,
of this, for
yeah,
sure. So then what would you suggest for a parent who might say, my child is telling me everyone else has a smartphone and I don't have one? What should that parent's response be and how do they navigate that
right,
with their child?
We hate that feeling of being left out.
Yes.
I think that's probably the biggest issue that parents have come is like, everyone else is doing that. I'm like, is everyone else
right,
doing that?
Not usually the case.
The amount of research that has come out lately that has showed all the stats, you know, smartphones have been out for about 17 years,
mm-hmm,
and now we have a lot of good data. We have a whole generation of kids that were kind of grew up with screens.
Yes.
And some of the fallout from that, mm-hmm, is alarming to parents now.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of parents are starting to change their mind and backtrack a little bit and say, I don't think I made the best decision, or how can we do an alternative?
Mm-hmm.
And alternatives are great. Research is showing that kids who had too much screen time when they were younger have even lost the ability to blink.
Mm.
They're staring at a screen for too long.
Wow.
And when you stop blinking, you know, your gland will close,
mm-hmm,
and that creates scar tissue. And then if the scar tissue forms, they need eye drops. And if they don't do the eye drops, then more scar tissue will form.
Wow.
So there's a lot of health risk,
mm-hmm,
for early screen exposure,
yes,
that is out in all of the stats. But not only that, you know, there are enough information out there about the harms of social media,
mm-hmm,
cyberbullying,
mm-hmm,
and a lot of that is because the kids don't know how to handle it. They don't know how to, too much is too much. They think that they can say something digitally and there's no consequence.
Right.
And I think we do just need to teach our kids there is a consequence for everything you say.
Mm-hmm.
And that it still is going to hurt someone's feelings, even if you're not face-to-face.
Yeah, taking away that face-to-face makes such a difference. Sometimes
yeah,
people will say things that they wouldn't say face-to-face, so
right,
that is important for them to realize that.
And as parents, we need to walk our students through that.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the harm that has come and the reason why parents are pulling back is because of the stats.
Mm.
And so our recommendation is not everyone is on a phone.
Yes.
And to find alternatives. So what are some good alternatives that your kid could do? Could you have a friend over after school to,
mm-hmm,
have that face-to-face time? Could you do a study group?
Mm-hmm.
Could you grab a kid or another family and go to ice cream after
right,
pickup? Can you meet at the park? We have some great parks in Riverside.
Mm-hmm.
What can you do that is an alternative to screen time that actually creates real life interaction?
Yes.
So the real pull really does come, I would say, eighth grade and into the freshman year of a kid really wanting a phone.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of digging down into the whys of it. And if the only reason is because my friend Johnny has a phone, then that's probably not a good enough reason. And maybe they're looking to still be more connected. We have found that our kids' friends are like, oh, Mrs. Elliott, we know your kids are not on social media. Can we email them to invite them?
Mm-hmm.
That is great. Please email them.
Yes.
That way it's a thread that we can see and we can monitor. There's still harms in group emails and group chats. It
mm-hmm.
kind of does still mimic the social media aspect. But as long as parents are involved, some
right.
of that is okay. But it's really about finding an alternative. What can replace the screen time with a real life interaction?
Mm-hmm.
And then talking your kid through it. Don't just leave them on the sideline and not part of the conversation.
Right.
Because you want them to know the why and you want their conscience to come along with you.
That's so true. Yeah. And just, I think, too, to help them realize they're really not the only one. Even though it may feel like it, there are many other parents, yes, like you said, out there that are feeling the same way about wanting to protect their kids, yep, from that.
And one helpful thing parents can do is to find other families, mm-hmm, to find like-minded families who want to do the same thing. And if you create this wonderful 1950s world for your kids where they all come over, they're not on the phones, yes, and they're playing regular games and they're playing tag to all the hours. That is a great little play-based childhood and a gift of childhood that you can, yes, give your kid. But finding other families is probably one of the crucial things nowadays to helping you be successful to keep your kid off the cell phone.
Yes, I like that.
Yeah.
Michelle, can you share some additional resources for parents that are still trying to navigate this tech world with our kids?
Yeah, happy to. On our parent resource page, we have some downloadable PDFs and some great parent tips and some resources. One book I would highly recommend is The Tech Exit by Clara Morrell. She did a wonderful job explaining a lot of the research that has come out, some of the harms, but also some wonderful alternatives, right? Mm-hmm. If you don't want to do a smartphone, there's the Gab phone, there's the Light phone. There's other resources that you have available, and even how to incrementally give your kid certain levels of phones and responsibilities. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really helpful. This wasn't available when my oldest was first starting, but I highly recommend this book. It comes on Audible. The first 8 chapters are just really something that I found that most parents don't know and are looking for. So I would highly recommend this book. And then our parent resources on the webpage.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thanks for sitting down for this conversation. I really hope that these resources are helpful to,
absolutely,
our parents. I know
thanks
they
so
will
much.
Be. Thank